Hi, everyone. We're celebrating 1 year of Kin Folklore.
Woo!
We had an incredible year with its ups and its downs, and we've been excited to share every moment with you. I'm Andrea, and Paul and I are cousins who love fantasy and sci-fi and really love podcasting about it.
And this year, we explore three worlds with you with full podcast seasons: His Dark Materials, The Witcher, and the incredible world of Avatar: The Last Airbender. We had jokes, we discussed themes, and we did some covers of some theme songs.
We also explored the worlds of Lovecraft Country and Wakanda, did a hate watch of Avatar the movie, which was really terrible. It was
bad.
I can't get over it. It was pretty bad. We did a Zoom meetup with some of our listeners. So, you know, for us, this has been a retreat from the pandemic and all of the uncertainty in the world. And we hope it's been the same for you, too. On today's episode, we're going to reflect on the worlds we covered and preview season two of His Dark Materials.
And flameo kinfolk. This whole year, kinfolk has had adult content. So if you can't handle some evil adjacent jokes about magical side hustles that fix erectile dysfunction, use the safe word, ragamuffin.
That's a thing that really happened.
That really happened. I know. It's really true. But if you're down, let's celebrate like Aang cutting loose with a headband, tooting on that sungi horn. Let's go. It's Kin Folklore, the anniversary episode.
All right, so do we want to talk about how this all started?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, we always talk about sci-fi and fantasy. Anyway, on the phone, we would talk about, at the time, Thrones was like the biggest thing. We were talking about Thrones, and we would talk about all the other books that we loved and worlds that we loved. And then just one day, I'm chilling, and I get a text message from you that's like, we should do this. This is the one, and it was His Dark Materials. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. I really love the story, and I knew that we'd have some good content. And then, you know, you elaborated. We kind of talked about what we want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were both thinking that we had talked a little bit about how there wasn't a lot of representation of people of color in mm-hmm. the podcasting world, and so that was sort of a conversation we were constantly having, but. We were looking for a story to cover, and His Dark Materials just seemed perfect at the time. And I think it was perfect for us to start off with.
Yeah.
It's a really expansive world, and the show is really well done. You know, we had some criticisms of it. It is mm-hmm. not perfect, mm-hmm. but it was a good way to start off a highly energetic show that was very interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, it was great because it was coming right on the heels of the massive disappointment of the last season of Game of Thrones, and we needed a project to throw ourselves into. And, you know, I think that's where the conversation was born out of, right? As we were talking about, like you said, representation and, you know, and just that we have these conversations. I mean, literally hours sometimes talking about these things. And it was like, man, this is something we're passionate about. We want to share it and talk to other people about it and get our ideas into the world about the shows that we're watching. So it was really cool. It's been a great experience.
I had almost forgotten that we were so angry at HBO. Almost.
Yes. Yeah. We were really angry at that moment. We almost were like, but it's an HBO show. That was a little bit of a hesitation, but you know, we're warming up. I'm warming up. I'm warming back.
HBO's getting me back on their side.
Yeah, exactly.
They're getting me back on their side. But it was a rough few months for a while.
And what were some of your favorite parts? Like, if you had to think about the shows that we covered, what were some of your favorite parts or characters of the shows that we covered?
Well, I think that I've been thinking a lot about what the common threads of the shows are. And certainly, like, the main characters, this hero's journey that they're on, Lyra, mm-hmm. Aang, Geralt, they're all kind of thrust into their destiny, right? Mm-hmm. Like, none of them are looking to be heroes in the moment. Mm-hmm. They're all kind of reluctant. I mean, Lyra was probably the one who stepped up first, right? Because Roger went missing and she wanted to find her friend. But mm-hmm. even she's a bit reluctant. So I thought that was really interesting. And the secondary characters are also pretty similar in some ways, like Will, Katara, Yen, my girl Yennefer. Mm. I'm a Yennefer stan.
Yeah.
Always will be. Well, actually, let's see where the show takes her.
When last we saw Yen, she was lighting motherfuckers up. Like, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, she really was. But, like, these are all characters who were changed by their circumstances and stepped up in a moment that, you know, they didn't necessarily want to. And all of them, I won't say it brought out the worst in them, but it brought out parts of them that they hadn't necessarily accessed. So for Will and Katara, that's really, like, you know, it made them use force in a way, right? Mm-hmm, so when mm-hmm. we last saw Will, he was on the run because he thinks that he killed someone, even though it was really his cat.
It was his cat. It was a little kitty. He was like, he didn't do nothing. Good old Jimmy Brooks. You would have heard a fly. Wheelchair Jimmy. It's okay.
And, you know, Katara also had to reckon with, you know, wanting to get revenge for her mother.
Yeah.
And Yen kind of accessed a part of herself that she didn't know she was capable of, which was like leadership and, you know, being selfless almost. So Yen almost had like the reverse type of moments from Will and Katara, because they were already good people. And Yen, I don't think she was ever even interested in being a good person. So I don't want to give too much away in case people haven't necessarily seen those shows. You should definitely watch them. We are going to talk some spoilers about His Dark Materials at the end. But, you know, those that's what I've really taken from the shows. I mean, all three of these works have brought so much to my life mm-hmm. in the last year. Like, I really thoroughly enjoyed diving back into the world of His Dark Materials. Mm-hmm. I had read the books about a decade ago, and it's nice to see this story done better than once again another movie that just didn't do the story justice.
I mean, do we have a potential in season two for another Hate Watch now that we're through season one?
Maybe we should do a Hate Watch of the His Dark Materials movie. The Golden Compass, yeah. Because that movie was really just lacking of magic in any real way. It was beautiful, but it was shot beautifully, but it just didn't have the elements of the show that were most compelling.
Sure.
And The Witcher is a world I was not expecting to love. You definitely were the one who wanted to do that, and I was kind of reluctant. And now I'm playing the video game. Like, I love The Witcher. It is, once again, an expansive world. And I'm enjoying learning, like, seeing the characters in the video game, which is far beyond the story. So I won't say any more about it. And I don't think I need to talk about Atla too much, because I'm a stan of the whole Atla world. So,
yeah, I mean, Atla is one of my favorite worlds. But you know what? It's so cool. That's one of the best parts about exploring this with you and with our audience, with all of you, and it is exploring these different worlds, like, you know, like the worlds of like Lyra's world and Will's world and His Dark Materials, the Magisterium as like, you know, villains and kind of like this menacing presence that would do what they're doing to children and their demons. And then to like go and think about and then leave that world and then head over into the continent and to learn about like the conjunction of the spheres and the beginning of magic in the world of The Witcher. And, you know, what is the war between the elves and humans and why that existed was just so much fun. And then to like leave that and then go to the Four Nations, right? To be there and like dig really deep into what is. All of these worlds have such expansive histories mm-hmm. and things that you get lost in, just like reading the story that you're currently in and also reading about the history of how the story that you're in, you know, was formed, right? Mm-hmm. Like to know about like all the previous avatars or to, you know, learn about like Ciri's lineage and what led to and why that's important, or even just to know like those little things about dust and mm-hmm. and the fact that, you know, it's heresy, you know, like so it's
be
just
careful
it's just
mentioning
something.
Dust, we don't want to have an issue with Scholastic Sanctuary.
well, this could be Grumman. Like, yeah. That was one of my favorite parts, is in his, like, that block of ice is like, that is not.
It's such a, so good at gaslighting. Like, what are you talking about? You just bought this random skull. You can't tell who it is.
Gaslight gods. Like, the guy in the freaking, you know, Jordan College and Aang in the Great Divide. They are like, they are masters at this. Oh my gosh, so good. But yeah, no, all these worlds. And one of the things I like about the worlds that, you know, I want to say is I loved being able, you know, as a person who is so heavily into music, being able to explore the music of all these different worlds. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun to especially when by the time we got to The Witcher and I started like getting to like mess around with, like, you know, with Yaskier and just all of his ridiculousness. He's still out here looking for that follow up, you know, like still, you know, I mean,
Iroh has more hits than him. Like,
Iroh is smashing him on the charts. It's not even close. Like, not even close. Like, Iroh is killing him on the charts. It's ridiculous. But, you know, even down to John Fa and the song that he sang for, you know, when, you know, we lost Billy.
That still is the roughest moment I've had while we're recording. It's just going through the events of that episode was so heartbreaking. I mean, it was worse to, like, I also struggled with Appa's lost days, mm-hmm. but this was like, man, that song was so heartbreaking. I think I said this on the podcast. I can't remember if I said this to you or on the podcast, but then like Iroh also singing to his son was like a callback to me to that moment where we're saying goodbye to Billy and the Egyptians are singing that song. So
it's such a callback.
Rough moment, but such a beautifully done and very respectful of the culture that they tried to build of the Egyptians on the show. Mm-hmm. I loved it, but I also hated it.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you that Luten and hit the dedication of Luten by Iroh, it totally calls back to that, like a father's love for his son. And it's really, really cool. It's cool to see these different tie-ins with all these different worlds. Mm-hmm. So speaking of different worlds, let's play a game.
The moment has arrived.
The moment has arrived. So we're going to play a game. And this game is called When Worlds Collide. And what it's going to be is that all of these worlds that we've covered, the His Dark Materials, all the worlds there, Atla, Four Nations and the world there, and then the world of the continent and The Witcher, all of the evil doers, the bad guys, are all on one side and we have to defeat them. And the king of that world is the White Flame. The White Flame has somehow brought Ozai and the Magisterium to heal. And he has now decided that they're going to attack all the many worlds and all the characters. And now Andrea and I have to pick a team, just like Team Avatar, that can defeat this evil that has come across the world. The worlds.
All right.
What are the rules?
All right.
Give us the rules.
So let's do rules here. And so we agreed that we would have, that we can't pick characters who are on the side of the enemy here. So Mrs. Coulter, Fringilla, Azula, Ty Lee, and May are off the board.
Off.
Cannot
use them.
Can't
pick them. Okay.
Each team can have one avatar. So you can't just have all the avatars. I know that's what you were going to do. You were just going to stack your whole team of avatars. So you can pick a single avatar.
Okay.
But you must have one non-magical character.
Okay.
We're going to pick one member of our team at a time. And we cannot pick the same members. So it's a little like a very simplistic draft.
Yes.
So
And then I guess we'll just decide based on our arguments, which team would defeat this mega army of evil. Okay.
Why don't we let the listeners decide? Let's make our case and then they can let us know.
All right.
Can hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook. They can let us know. I'm sure many of them will. We do not have a shy group of listeners.
No. So this is fun. So how are we deciding who goes first?
Do you have a coin?
I can toss a coin to the Witcher.
Let's do this.
I can do
it. Give me a moment to bring up my draft list.
Oh man. This is gonna be great. So coin flip.
I will take heads.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna flip. Heads it is.
All right, I get to go first?
You get to go first.
All right, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to select my avatar out of the gate.
Okay.
I'm going to take Avatar Kyoshi.
God, I knew you were going to take her away from me. I knew it. I knew you were going to take... I planned for that eventuality that you were going to take her away from me.
I did, too. I have a backup avatar in case she was off the board.
Make your case. Why Kyoshi? Why did you pick Kyoshi of all the avatars?
Because she's ready to fight.
She is.
When other avatars are hemming and hawing, she's like, what's good? Let's do what we gotta do. They're all evil. Like, why are we hemming and hawing about this?
Yeah, she is. She is. She is, you know, I like that she's like ready and like, you know, you can't get any more clutch than... Without justice, there is no peace. You know what I mean? Like that. Like. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. I like Kyoshi. Plus, go read the books, people. Just go read the books. She could easily infiltrate the other side to the point where they would feel like she was down with them, and she probably and then wipe them out. So yes, I'm down. I think it's a great choice. Good choice for you out the gate.
And I'll just say, you know, if we have any apprehension about what she's capable of, talk to Chin the Great. Okay.
Oh my goodness. Or the Dao Fei. She's the beast. Oh man, she's yes. I'm with you. Chin the Great caught that L. How do you feel Roku handled having Kyoshi as, like, you know, his past life?
I'm sure she just yelled at him all the time.
All the time.
Why are you hemming and hawing about Sozin? Like, okay, so he's your friend. What?
Oh, Kyoshi, I don't know. See,
I'm not going to say too much.
I'm not. But Kyoshi has no room to talk. Let's just put it that way. All right, about that part. Anyway, so... I'm gonna pick my non-magical person.
Okay.
And not an avatar. Since you can't pick another avatar, I'm going with the one of two people that I thought about that is the only person that we've seen pull off successful strategies in warfare.
I knew you were gonna do this.
I gotta go Sokka.
I knew you were gonna do this. Sokka was gonna be the backbone of my team, but then I decided that my strategy should be to take Kyoshi off of the board. So, okay.
It's good. But Sokka is one of two people in all of our shows, honestly, that has successfully pulled off a war campaign. Like, literally, there's only two. I mean, you can, the Witcher still is developing, but there's two. And I was like, you know what? If I had to pick between these two, I'm going Sokka. And you know, even though the invasion of the Black Sun was not what they had hoped, they adjusted on the fly. He was able to make changes. Mm-hmm. He was able to break Suki and a bunch of people out of jail. He was I say a bunch of people because we had randos that just came along for the ride after. I don't know what the fuck happened. Anyway, And then at the end, his strategy skills led to a lot of the ways that, like, they were able to pull off their wins. I mean, obviously, we got to give Katara her shout outs. We got to give everybody that had skills, they're, you know, in the team. But come on, man. Sokka was the brains in the operations. They even came to him, even though they hated his nicknames, they would come to him for nicknames. Mm-hmm. They came to him for everything. Just like, at the wall in Ba Sing Se, they're like, hey, what are we going to do? And he's like, yo, why I got to be the plan guy all the time? I'm just saying. So Sokka is my first non-magical pick for strategy purposes.
Okay. All right. Let me consult. This changes my initial plan. All right. I'm going to hold off on picking my non-magical person.
Okay.
My next pick is going to be the one, the only.
I knew it.
Yennefer of Vankerberg.
I knew it. Ah, God, you got Yen and Kyoshi. Two of my top picks. I'm glad. Anyway, so talk about Yen.
What's to talk about? She's going to have Kyoshi's back. She's going to wreck everybody. She, you know, she's a little bit of a loose cannon. So I have a strategy for that. You know, she goes her own way, but she is incredibly powerful, mm-hmm. incredibly smart, and is a free thinker.
Kyoshi would love Yen. I know it. She would love. Listen, Yen is basically a firebender with extra magic. Like, you saw her light people up at the end, like, of the season. She was like breathing fire out of her, like summoning her chaos, and by doing so, lit up a whole army with flames. Like, legitimately, the truth. Good call. It's a good one. This is a good team.
I mean, I'm building a team of strong women so far. I got Kyoshi, Yennefer. You know, I have to mix it up a little bit because Sokka was going to be my only dude, but now I have to change things, I think. So go on.
Okay. This is a tough one for me because I have a couple of options that are really top on my board where I didn't expect them to be here. I really didn't. I actually expected you to go Yen early, maybe, but I'm going to go for my first magical pick, kind of magical. I'm going Toph Beifong.
Oh, man.
I'm going Toph.
That's another one of mine, but yeah. I respect the pick.
Yes.
What's Toph, your case for Toph?
Toph is, she has mastered like numerous styles of bending within her bending class, right? So she is, yes, of course, the greatest earthbender of all time. But why is she the greatest earthbender of all time? Because she can bend sand, she can bend metal, she can bend regular old earth. I mean, she is just a beast. And to be completely honest, she sees with other senses that don't have to do with her eyes. So her perception is going to be great about being able to sense when things are coming. When the armies are approaching and you need to know, Toph is going to let us know before anything happens. When they start to attack us, she's going to be like, hey, I'm hearing something, and we're going to know, and we'll be able to head off any attacks before they happen just through that skill alone. As long as we're not on sand.
That's fair. Toph can tell if anyone is coming, even from a distance.
Yep. So that's my next pick.
Good pick. Good pick. I can't really quibble with it. I mean, once again, a non-team player.
Yeah.
I would say that Toph is probably a little bit easier to manage than Yen. But not much.
No. Definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, that would be a problem. That was my only place I was struggling, was seeing Yen and Toph on the same team. I couldn't see them on the same team. I kept trying to think about, okay, could Yen and Toph exist on the same team? I don't know, because Toph had a tough time for a while existing on the same team with Katara, who's probably, I would say, one of the probably easier people to have on your team. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. I thought that was going to be a struggle for Toph.
Yeah, I mean, I have thoughts about that. I think Yen would respect Toph.
True.
So I think they could get along ultimately, but the beginning would certainly be rocky.
You have no question but to respect Toph. She's the melon lord, okay?
Okay. All right. So since you brought up sensing an army before it arrives, for my non-magical person, I am picking Queen Calanthe of Sintra.
I knew it! Damn it! She was my next pick! Oh my gosh, that was great. Okay,
because
yes.
Even though she can't sense the armies coming because she doesn't feel the vibration in her feet, she can smell the strong stench. One of my favorite lines from The Witcher.
Oh, it's great.
So, and she is just like a genuine badass. She is a leader.
Yeah.
She has no magical powers, but she would totally be out front trying to help strategize. And she doesn't give up to the bitter end. I mean, in the end, she really lost and she didn't want to go out and be tortured. But she tried to hold on to the city as long as humanly possible. And I deeply respect her.
Was that like the first battle she'd ever lost to? Like, wasn't that like...
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if we recall from episode one, I think they said she won her first battle when she was around 12,
yeah.
13. She's a force to be reckoned with. I will be happy to have her on my team.
Yeah. Man. This is a strong team support. So we got Calanthe, we got Yen, and we got Kyoshi.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's pretty solid. All right, and I'm with. That's pretty solid.
There's some weakness here. There's some weakness, but I'm not gonna sell my own team short. So.
Okay. All right, here we go. I'm going to go. I don't need to take an avatar. I know which you can't take another one, and I know which avatar. It's the one benefit of losing Kyoshi is I know I can pick my avatar last, and I have I know exactly which one I'm picking.
Okay.
But who I am going to pick is it's a toss up between the two. But if you got Calanthe, I need some of that elven blood on my side. I need it. So, I gotta go Ciri.
Damn it.
I gotta go Ciri. The time of the sword and axe is nigh. Okay?
I was really hoping to get Cirilla.
Yeah.
I really hope that you forgot about Cirilla.
No, I gotta go with her. I gotta go with Ciri, okay? Because she is out here murking people in her sleep, waking up like, did I fuck some people up? Did that happen? I don't know what happened. I just, come with me, girl. Come.
She literally just screamed and wiped out, like, created a hole in the earth.
That's the thing that got me, right? Is that, like, she, like, yeah, screaming, like, the pipes of Fergie and Jesus. No, I'm just... Oh, gosh. She is out here giving Ariana Grande a run for her money, okay? That's what it is. Anyway, so so that's it. I got Ciri. I got Sokka, who I think Ciri and Sokka would have a little thing. It could happen. A little Sokka Ciri action. It could happen. They're about the same age group.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. What we see? And like at this point in the stories. And then I got Toph, who would be hating because you know Toph already loves Sokka. So it'd be a little drama. We got our love triangle just like every team avatar should have, and we're good.
Okay. All right. So my next pick is Lyra of Jordan College, Silver Tongue.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one.
And I'm just going to go ahead and assume that I get the alethiometer.
Of course you get the alethiometer. If you have Lyra, you get the alethiometer. And that's
and
why
Pan.
It's a good one. Yeah.
And Pan. I'm taking her. She's you know, not quite as refined as some of our other characters. But she's a scrappy little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She convinces people to do what she wants, and she brings people together. My girl had the Egyptians, the witches, and Lee Scoresby, and the bears all fighting against the Magisterium and Mrs. Coulter.
Like, without trying. Like, literally just, like, with a little bit of strategy, but mainly just, like, I'm going to get my friend. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. So, I think that she can get more allies on our side, and she can consult the alethiometer about the strategy.
Yeah, that's the thing that really swings me to like, man, it's such a nuclear option because like Toph can hear when the army's coming. Lyra can like consult the alethiometer and know what's going to happen before it happens. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty solid choice. Pretty solid choice.
She's still learning how to read it, but yeah, I feel like it would be a for sure she could take out Nilfgaard with the alethiometer. Like, I think that that would be more of a stealth type mission. The Fire Nation's a little bit more unpredictable, so I don't know.
I think that she would know how to take out Nilfgaard. It'd be tough though. Like, that's the only thing. Lyra's not good in battle. Like, right? She's not a battle tested person, but you have Kyoshi. You don't need anybody else for battle. Like, you got the biggest, like, Kyoshi and Yen, that's your muscle. That's what you got. Mm-hmm. You don't need anybody else for that. So that's it's solid. Okay. I could go, you know, I gotta say, I struggled with this because I thought, What could I do that could sway things in my direction? I'm going Jurik Bjørnason.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I thought about it too.
Because I think Jurik is gonna have all of the Jurik comes with the bears and the bear army. He is the king of the bears, so he comes with his own army, similar to Calanth coming with her own army. I need someone who's gonna bring an army with them. And that is Jurik Bjørnason. And it matches up really nice with Sokka because Sokka's from, you know, the water tribe, pretty much like similar to like a northern kind of like environment. So he's going to be really at home and maybe even ride into battle on the back of Jurik Bjørnason. Can you imagine Sokka on the back of Jurik, like riding into battle with his full like armor, water tribe armor? I'm picking Jurik.
Good pick. I really struggled with Jurik too. I was thinking he also is like willing to do what has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely was considering him too. And there's no, I don't think that like he's a loner more than I think he's a team player, but he is a do or die. He will do what needs to be done. So Yurik's a good pick.
100%. So here it is. Last pick for you.
This is hard because some of my folks are off the board now I'm having regrets. You know, this is tricky. I think I'm going to go with Uncle Iroh.
It's a good one.
I don't really have any justification for that except that we need someone who is a peacemaker in case this comes to diplomacy.
Yeah.
Unless it's, you know, about his niece, because, you know, she's crazy and she has to go down.
She is. She's a little bit, you know, it proved to be true. Prophetic. But, you know, I don't know, because yes, Iroh is wise, and yes, Iroh is peaceful. And yes, Iroh is all those things, but I think Iroh is a general. He knows Warcraft. He knows. I mean, can you imagine you have Calanth and Iroh and they sit down and talk about how to strategically place your armies, and then you have the power of Yen and Kyoshi to like be able to like use that any way you want with them being able to like strategically use the armies that they have? You've put together a pretty solid team. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little too much firepower, like literal firepower, because we have Yen and Iroh.
Yeah,
but you know, we have a very confident earthbender too, so I will stand by my team.
Really, really, I'm gonna pick my last person, but really tough, because I'll tell you who I'm not picking. Geralt of Rivia. I'm not picking him, okay? So really tough that he is not picked at all, right? Like, it's like...
He was on my list. I was going to pick him or Cirilla, and then last minute, I decided to go with Calanth instead.
Yeah, I thought Calanth was a good choice for your non-magic. And, I mean, I struggled because I did want to pick him, but I have to pick an avatar now. It's my last one, so I have to pick an avatar, right? So...
You don't have to pick an avatar. You just can't have more than one avatar.
Oh no, I'm picking an avatar. It would be crazy not to have an avatar that can go into the avatar state on your team. When it just, that would be nuts that could do that. And I'm gonna pick Yang Chen.
Oh.
Yang Chen, like, is my choice, was my backup choice because Yang Chen was who Aang went to trying to look for that okie doke of like, I know there's a way for me not to have to kill. And she's like, no, you will never reach enlightenment. You're going to have to murder this motherfucker. Okay. Like, stop your bullshit, Aang. Yes. You want to do all this pacifism. You'll never be that person. You're never reaching enlightenment. You're the avatar, which means you're going to have to wipe some people out. Also, just a little bit that without it doesn't, it's not too spoilery. It's not spoilery at all, actually. But just as you read deeper into the world and you go deeper into the world, you realize that Yang Chen was an avatar that people throughout the Earth Kingdom even called to and worshipped because of the time that she was the avatar. And she was not afraid to do what had to be done. So much so that she did things that were kind of harsh sometimes that the actual dark spirits actually retaliated later on with other avatars. And that's why you get some of the stuff that we see with Aang and Ko the Face Stealer and all of those things is because she was no fucking joke. She was unafraid to like say, no, I'm going to put evil back in its bottle. So I'm going Yang Chen because very unsung hero as far as avatars, because we don't know enough about her, but there's little things here and there that you'll find out if you continue on reading the novels and other things. Yang Chen is a beast.
Okay. All right. I feel like your team is really solid too, in part because you have Siri and Toph.
Yeah.
And Yorick. So I feel like these teams would have a pretty good chance. I still think mine has the edge.
Yours is solid, but here's where it gets tricky, because we did in the bonus round say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Artillery or mythical creature that you could pick. So you have yours. And then I get to pick mine.
I'm a little tempted to take a mythical creature off of the board.
Yeah.
But I really think that I would like the war balloons.
It's good against the Magisterium.
It is good against the Magisterium. It's somewhat effective against a Fire Nation if you know how to use them. Although you have the two people who are most adept at using them.
Yeah.
But I think those are... I think I'm going to go with the war balloons.
Okay. I'm going with the red and blue dragons.
Wow. Okay.
Because I got two dragons now on the board. Both of which...
How do you get both dragons?
Because the red and blue dragons, they're dual dragons. They're not like two dragons. They're not separate. They're actually the yin and the yang. I got two dragons on the board now. When you...
This feels like a technicality I didn't plan for.
I started to go and get the golden dragon from The Witcher, and I said, no, but there's two dragons hanging out over there with the sun people. Why am I not getting the red and blue dragons? Of course I'm getting the red and blue dragons. They're gonna be able to can judge people's hearts and their feelings. They can like know whether somebody's full of shit and light them up if they need to. They are Daenerys they are Daenerys without Daenerys. Okay? Like they're like, yes.
Fair. This is fair.
I'm going red and blue dragons. And that in fact makes my team to have the ground game of the armored bears and to have the sky game of the freaking red and blue dragons. It's pretty solid. And Siri being able to like break up the ground where we don't want people to be able to attack us from. Imagine I get Cirilla and she breaks, screams, the whole ground cracks, and then we light them up on the flames from the sky because there's nowhere that they can go. They can't escape the little piece of rock that we got on. And any place they thought they could, I got Toph to bend it so that they're trapped. I'm just lighting you up from the sky. I'm lighting you up by Toph bending you into a cage where you're getting lit up. It's pretty tough, but you can do the same thing. You got Kyoshi and you got Yen. So those things happen.
Yeah, you have the air aerial fight though, which I only have through the war balloons, which are much harder to navigate. So I'm going to give you that dragon call was good because I totally forgot about them. I only thought about the golden dragon.
I only thought about the golden dragon for a while too, and I was like, wait, the red and blue dragons. So some of the people who I had that I didn't call out off the board, like, and then we'll talk about like other things here, is John Fa. He knew there was no reason to continue on and advance against the Magisterium. He just needed the kids. And he goes back home. Who knows what happens next, but that's what we'll leave there. And then I had, of course, Aang is hanging out there, Geralt.
I think it's a really bad look for Aang and Geralt that they didn't make either team.
Is it, though? Neither one of them were disciplined.
It's true.
I mean, it's true. Aang, I love Aang. You know how I feel about Aang. And I love Geralt. But Geralt just fucking, like, Geralt is like, I don't want to do this. I don't want my child to surprise. I'm not, dude, you're fucking things up, okay? Like, you're messing things up. This is not good. Nilfgaard is going to win because of your lack of responsibility. He does come back, but that's it. And then Aang is, like, making snowmen and doing all kinds of shit. I don't need this on my team. I need discipline. We're dealing with a highly advanced military force. I don't need this shit. Anyway.
Yeah, the only person that didn't get picked that I was going to pick was Serafina Pecola.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I went back and forth between her and Lyra for a while, but I feel like where we are in the show, we don't have enough information about her powers. So
yeah,
I went with Lyra because at least she's a known quantity and, you know, she's a scrappy little girl. She's going to get it done.
Yeah, I like the Lyra choice too. I think the Lithiometer coming with Lyra is really solid. I mean, there are people I would have picked. There are things and people I would have picked if we were including. One thing that we didn't say is that you couldn't pick anybody from Korra, and that we weren't going any further than what we are in HDM. So there's things like in The Subtle Knife I know that happens that we don't know they're going to cover on the show that I maybe would have went with. And I would have said, oh, yeah, that person. But we left that all off, and we'll wait. We'll talk more about those things later. I just
one thing I wanted to say before we close the game is that I really thought, as I was thinking about building my team last night, it's a damn shame that Azula couldn't be on any of these teams.
Yeah, it's true.
Azula has she's a great strategician. She is a great bender.
Yeah.
So, like, she got the strategy, she's got the bending, she also can fight without bending. Azula's a big loss, but, you know, we promised we wouldn't use her.
I mean, arguably a better bender than Zuko, right? Like, arguably.
Yeah, no, I think she is.
Yeah, and but where he makes up for it is his heart, you know? Pavetta was one that was on the board for me. I just didn't pick her because I already picked Ciri. If I didn't get Ciri, I was going to pick Pavetta. That was my strategy.
Ooh, Pavetta's a good one. Yeah. I forgot about her too.
But then the one that I was like mythical, when I was thinking mythical creatures before I landed on the dragons, I thought about the djinn. And I thought the djinn
would. You can't control the djinn.
But that's why I stopped. I was like, you can't control the djinn. The djinn is going to do whatever the fuck it wants. And then you have no way of knowing whether it's on your side or goes over to Nilfgaard's side, and now you're in trouble. If it decides to just start fucking wrecking everybody, maybe the djinn wins the whole war, including wiping you out. And I was like, yeah, I'm leaving the djinn in the bottle. I'm good.
Yeah, totally. That was fun.
It was fun. Lots of fun. So give us your thoughts. Please hit us up when we drop the episode. Facebook, Twitter, hit us up in our email. We want to know, like, you know, kinfolklore@gmail.com. Kinfolklore Pod on all the different channels. We want to know what you think. Whose team would you rock with? What team would you go with as far as into battle? I got to be honest. I think in order to win this war, we'd probably have to get all 10 of them.
I think we put Nilfgaard in control of this, but let's be honest, Ozai ain't taking orders from no one. They're the bigger force to reckon with.
He is the Phoenix King. He is not the Fire Lord anymore.
So now that we've finished the game,
mm-hmm.
We should talk a little bit about some other things we've done in the past on the podcast that were for fun.
Yeah.
Jokes that we made. Songs that you wrote, performed, and produced.
Those were fun. We had some good times. Definitely good times.
We had some great times. We had some catchphrases that came out.
Yeah. Things that stuck out that some of you guys told us you liked. So why don't we take a little trip? Let's take a little trip down memory lane and listen to some of these things and highlights from the past year.
So this woman takes Yennefer to a place that I can only describe as boring Hogwarts.
most boring wizarding school ever. I was just like, this place is not interesting.
They don't even sort. They're all in the same house. There's no sorting. There's no nothing. Like, what is happening here? This is not a cool magic school at all.
When two cousins thought that they would do a pod about Geralt of Rivia, along came this song.
Huh. What are you doing?
At this point, I think it's appropriate that we start having, you know, a familiar, like a conversation about the fact that all of these dudes that you're liking in these stories, they end up being like really maniacal in the end. Something is like, what's going on here?
Okay. First of all, I just want to be really clear that they're like evil adjacent. Okay. So, Boreal is not the central villain of his Dark Materials yet. He could be, but right now he's not. He's evil adjacent. Does he do evil things? Absolutely. But is he the central villain? No. Isrid is obviously a good guy. It just so happens that he's working with Stregobor, who I hate.
Oh my gosh.
I just don't feel like you should, you know, say that this represents evil as a thread in the men that I happen to be attracted to on these shows. I'm just saying.
Heresy! Greetings, kinfolk. We will resume our regularly scheduled programming next week Thursday, but due to the Hamilton craze sweeping the nation, we bring to you the Ember Island Players with their rendition, Aang the Avatar.
How does a boy and his bison end up in an iceberg, locked in for years but never was forgotten? Hunted by a prince with a scar from Agni Kai, with his father searching for his honor, honor, honor.
A young man we will come to know is Prince Zuko.
This fucking guy.
Oh, of the Fire Nation.
What is the meaning of this mutiny?
He loses it as well. Everyone's struggling with their emotions.
This guy is just such a freaking drama queen. Like, this mutiny, what are you doing? What is the meaning of this?
Yeah.
My honor. Honor, honor, honor.
It's a long, long way to Ba Sing Se, but the girls in the city, they look so pretty.
Come on, we're talking a gold piece.
Oh, what?
Let's see some
action. Huh? Oh. That is what we're going to do. Yes. We're going to break it down real quick like Uncle Iroh told us.
Yeah, we are.
Hey.
Go Sungi Horn.
Let's go. I say the Ba Sing Se, say Ba Sing Se.
Say what?
Say Ba Sing Se, say Ba Sing Se. We're on the way right now to Ba Sing Se, where the girls look sweet and it's so pretty.
Say the Ba Sing Se, say Ba Sing Se.
Say the Ba Sing Se, say Ba Sing Se.
Say the Ba Sing Se, break it down, break it down, break it down.
Where the girls so sweet and they're so pretty. I'll break it down now.
What we looking for? What we looking for? Come on, Andrew. What we looking for?
Break it down now. Break it down now. Break it down. Break it down. Break it down now.
What do you say?
Oh, where the blue spirit at? Let him know. Where the blue spirit at?
I don't know.
Let him know. Where the blue spirit at?
I don't know.
Let him know.
I don't know.
Let him know.
Oh, man.
Heresy is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites.
I mean, Heresy was from our first episode, and it was definitely a quick favorite amongst the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's because and when you go back and watch, like we were talking about this week, it's not even meant to be funny, but it's fucking hilarious. You know, like, geez, like he's just like sitting there, that and like, you know, Asriel's like fucking like futuristic slideshow with the block up.
He's like, I have something great to unveil. It's a PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Anyway.
So we should talk about the upcoming season of His Dark Materials.
Yeah.
Which I'm super hyped about.
Man.
I like was trying not to get hyped about it while we were still doing Atla. But now that like all the promos are out, it's just like a few days away. I'm psyched.
Whew.
And so just a reminder that the show ended. There's spoilers here. So if you have not seen season one, you should not listen any further. Because mm-hmm. I'm just going to do a quick recap of what happened in the last season. So the final episode, the Magisterium has taken a major L.
Yep.
Just all the L's.
Yeah.
Then Mrs. Coulter took double L's because she failed. Her little project failed where she was torturing children. She failed to keep Asriel in line. And then she didn't even get her love. Asriel left and went to another place. Lyra was hiding from her. All the L's.
I mean, but it was the most human we saw her when she decides to stay, because Asriel's like, roll with me. We'll go into the many worlds. And da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, our daughter's here. Dude, you're still a fucking terrible dad. Still. I thought it was a good flex by her to be like, no, our daughter's here. I'm staying. So
yeah, but then her daughter was like, this bitch is crazy. And decided to cross into another world.
Oh, man.
So it was the final scene of His Dark Materials was possibly the best.
Yeah.
In the whole season. It's really beautifully done, but also just incredibly sad. So, you know, this other world that Asriel was able to open up, the bridge between worlds, was done by sacrificing Roger,
mm-hmm.
who was Lyra's best friend, who kicked off this whole thing when he went missing. And it was horrible. Like, it was, even though I knew it was coming, I was devastated watching it.
Sucked, man.
York and the other bears have battled with the Magisterium. And in our world, Will is on the run after killing one of Boreal's minions.
Allegedly.
Let's Fluffy the cat did this. Exactly. I actually don't know the cat's real name, but the cat, Will is all torn up, but the cat really killed the guy. I mean, let's just say cats are one of the only mammals that kills for fun. And this cat was definitely killing for fun.
And that guy had it coming. That's when you pull a lookout guy into the fucking murder mix, that's what's going to happen. That guy was a lookout guy. He was not supposed to be breaking and entering. That was it. He was doing the surveillance and the lookout stuff.
He
was the tech guy. I don't know what they were like, yo, let's bring him in there. And Boreal stayed just sitting there eating his waffle fries, chilling, getting the bad news.
So Will has also crossed over using the same portal that Boreal has been using into another world. So both Lyra, who's seeking dust, and Will, who's looking for his father, cross into a different world. And that's where the show really ended. We don't know what happens from there. So what are you looking forward to seeing in this season?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the meetup of hopefully of Will and Lyra, right? Like, they're obviously going through a portal. So I'm looking forward to maybe that. I'm looking forward to I just want to see where Lyra's going. Honestly, that's what I want to see. You know, like, she walks through, the last scene is her walking through the portal and it's like lit up and her and Pan are going through. I want to see where is she going, what is going to happen, and I'm really interested in her journey. Like, they've got me to the point now where I'm really invested in her success, because we lost Roger. Like, this draw for her of being able to find her friend and that be the only thing. She got there and then her shit fell apart too. So I want to see, now that she's pivoted to this new mission, that Pan was like, we got to go do this because he would want us to do this, and it's going to actually make his death worth, like, even though we're broke up about him being gone, it's going to make all the sacrifice worth it if we get answers to these questions. I want to see what she does with that.
I definitely want to see where Lyra's going next. I have some other questions about other characters. Like, Boreal has had an outsized role in this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious about where the show takes him. He is not quite on the Magisterium side. He's definitely on his side. He's on Boreal's side. So I'm very curious about where he's his journey is going to take him. I have some questions about where the show is going to take Mrs. Coulter, just because, as we've said many times, Ruth Wilson is the one of the biggest assets the show has.
So good.
She's incredible and very captivating on screen. And so those are my main things. I kind of just want to see where the villains are going. Well, maybe we shouldn't call them villains, but the antagonists, Boreal, Mrs. Coulter, the Magisterium totally, but there, I find the Magisterium to be far less interesting of a villain than those two.
Like, you know what it is that the fact that Mrs. Coulter, like when you have the Fire Nation, for example, the Fire Nation had Azula, Ozai, it had your boy Zhao, who was the worst shit ever. and it had like people that you could point to and be like, okay, all of my disdain for this group of people is pointed towards these villains. I don't really feel that about Mrs. Coulter because Mrs. Coulter and Boreal are just they feel like independent agents, right? Mm-hmm, they're under the thumb of the Magisterium, where and the Magisterium agents, like the people who are actually from the Magisterium, I don't really care enough about them, except for Rate, Fra Pavel.
Fra Pavel. A little girl learned how to do your trade in 5 minutes.
This guy's like, it's going to take a lot of intense work. It's very hard to read the Alethiometer. She's like, this. She got it.
I think that's fair, because Mrs. Coulter, Azrael, Boreal, they all seem like free agents to me, that they're not real. They don't have necessarily allegiance to any institution, that they're doing what I think Mrs. Coulter is flat out using the Magisterium. And I think Boreal's not even really doing that. I think he's just kind of doing his own thing, working with Mrs. Coulter when he can. But he's mostly interested in having the power to go between worlds and get what he wants. I mean, although he already has a lot. He got a car.
Yeah.
He got a cell phone. I mean, he's doing big things in our world.
I mean, like, the guy's got, he's got, this is the thing about coming back over to Lyra's world, is when he comes back over there, he's probably like, man, this shit sucks. Like, I want to go back over there. They got, like, better food. They got, I got cell phone connection. I got everything.
Information in the world is at his fingertips in our world.
Yeah, exactly.
The only other thing that I'm really looking forward to is I got to see Ruta Scatti. I am looking forward to seeing that character so much.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
I think she's a very interesting character in the books, and I'm excited about the casting choice. So I'm psyched to see the other Queen of the Witches, which is going to be dope.
Yeah, and I don't want to leave out Will. Like, I think, like, for me, on top of Ruta Scatti, I'm also interested, like, Will had minimal parts, and I think that, you know, I can't, full disclosure, I've read the books, but I can't imagine, but we have not seen the show, so we don't know what the show is going to do, and I just can't imagine, I just want to see, like, what they do with Will's character, mm-hmm. you know, like, in the show, like, in the books, it's very clear what happens with him,
but yeah. It's just... Totally. Anyway. I think Will's character is an interesting one, because I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel like I read somewhere that Pullman actually was originally going to write the book about a boy.
Yeah.
And so I've always wondered, was Will that boy, or did he just give Lyra the attributes of that boy? Will's character is certainly interesting. And let's see how sheltered Lyra deals with, I mean, she's sheltered, like, because of the way she was brought up in Jordan College. She's not sheltered, obviously. She's been through a lot. But I kind of think of, like, Cirilla and Dara. Like, he's like, please don't eat those berries.
She's throwing shit at you like, stop. Yeah, that's great.
So I'm hoping that Lyra is open to learning, because she's a bit of a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Because Will definitely has, like, you know, the like, street smarts that she's so sorely lacking.
Agreed.
So I'm excited. I can't wait to do this.
It's going to be awesome. So next week is the premiere of His Dark Materials. and we will be dropping our episode. So we appreciate you guys going, reflecting back on this year, on the anniversary of the pod. We really appreciate it and appreciate you and your continued support. You want to leave us a comment, please go leave some reviews on wherever you listen to podcasts. And also just check us out. Hit us up on social media. Kin Folklore Pod on Twitter, Kin Folklore Pod Instagram, same thing on Facebook. And yeah, we'll see you next week with the first episode of season 2 of His Dark Materials and our coverage.
Yes. Looking forward to it. Bye, everyone.
Hold on. I'm going to have to redo all of that. There is a giant ass roach crawling up the wall of my hotel, like bigger than anything I've ever seen.
That's not okay. That's because you called out Roach's name. See?
I don't even understand. What is happening here? Oh my God, it's so gross. Andrea, I'm not even going to kill it. I can't touch that thing.
You have to kill it.
Okay.
Where is it going to go?
One second.
Oh my God.
I think I might have recorded all that too.
Oh my God, that thing is huge.
I want to go home.
Oh, bomba clock. Bomba clock.